when the scriptures talks about in Psalm 23 that he put the table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know what that table is? Is everything God has given to you. All you have to do is grab it and take it. It's already yours. It's laid out on the table. Do you need healing? Grab that. Take a bite of it. So this is something you need to grab a hold of for yourself. Others can pray for you, but you have to take the table. You have to take what is on that table.
Okay, well, this morning, as usual, I have a message.
Hey,
thank you. Who said that? I have a quote first. If all you have is sunshine, all you're going to get is desert. If all you have is sunshine, all you're going to get is desert. Yeah, you want to have desert for your whole life? No, we want some sunshine, we want some rain, we want some clouds, we want it to be cold and hot, we want the weather to change. I just had to throw that in there. But the message is called today, Anointed and Appointed. Anointed and Appointed. You know, everybody that I know of that has been received Christ has been anointed. Did you know that you have the anointed one living in you? Okay, you have been anointed, but you might not yet have been appointed. You know what I mean by that? Is that maybe you haven't grown into the position that you know God wants you to be. You're still waiting for that position. Maybe somebody's in your position. Maybe they're warming your seat. But know that you will not be forgotten, because if he's anointed you, he is going to appoint you. I want you to look in Psalms 89. This is the passage that I'm going to be basing this on, that you have been anointed. And it's Psalm 89. I'm going to have you all repeat it with me. So be ready. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to have you repeat a part of it with me. Psalm 89, 20 and 24. It says here, this is talking about David. I have found David, which God said, I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Now what I want you to repeat with me is this. I have found David my servant. Say that with me. I have found David my servant with my holy oil. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Now I want you to say it with meaning this time. I have found David my servant.
I have found David my servant.
With my holy oil
have I anointed him.
I want you to say it again. I have found David my servant.
I have found David my servant.
With my holy oil.
With my holy oil.
Have I anointed him?
Have I anointed him?
I want you to change David's name and put your name in it. And I want you to say it loud as you mean it. I have found Linda my servant. I have found my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed her or him. With my holy oil, I have anointed her or him. Okay, so I want you to say it again and mean it. This is for you. This is what you want to take into your spirit. I have found Linda, my servant. Say it again. I have found my servant. With my holy oil, have I anointed grab that. I told it. You had to say it three or four times to finally get it. If you keep reading it, you know, you won't see it. God has found you. You aren't lost. You ever go to on a trip? I'm so lost. I don't know where I'm at. If it wasn't for a GPS, I would be lost. You're never lost with God. He knows exactly where you are. Just enjoy.
enjoy the ride. Have an adventure. It says, I have found Linda. You are his servant. But of course, in the New Testament, it says he changes his servant to friend. So don't forget that. You're a friend. It says, I have found Linda, my servant. And with my holy oil, the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was holy oil because they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. In the New Testament, it's the Holy Spirit. And I have anointed him or her. You have been anointed with holy oil. I'm going to let that sink in. You have been anointed with holy oil. The Holy Ghost anoints us. The Holy Ghost, when you receive Christ into your heart, you receive the Holy Ghost. He then is the anointing for your life. Have you ever been in a job and it's just so hard? It's just, you struggle to get to work. You don't even like going to that job. You hate that job. I'm going to tell you something. You're not anointed for it. Because when you're anointed for a job to do it, you're going to be given grace. You're going to be given excitement. You're going to be given ease because oil makes it easy. You have a squeaky door. What do you put in the hinge? Oil. WD-40. But I use olive oil. It does the same thing. It takes away the squeak. Takes away the grind. Is anybody grinding at their job? You better ask the Lord, Lord, is this where I belong? Because I think you might have a better job for me. He wants you to be so excited about going to your job with some great ideas. As a matter of fact, the people that are appointed in that position cannot do what you can do when you're anointed for that position. The anointing gives you what you need more so than a person who has been appointed in it. Have you known people in your job that you go, why did they get that appointment? I don't think they're very qualified for that job. So sometimes we have to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in a moment when we have an attitude like that. The Holy Ghost anoints us when we receive Christ. We are given the gift of the Holy Ghost that anoints us. Now, I put a thing on Facebook this week, and it's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And I'm just throwing it in here. It's not even in my notes. And that is that the Holy Spirit was given to the people not to speak in tongues. Read it for yourself. The Holy Spirit was given to you to share the gospel with others. Gives you the power to speak boldly to others. And by the way, if you keep reading in Acts chapter 2, it talks about the Holy Spirit had a language. The people understood it. It wasn't gibberish. Okay, I'm just throwing this out here. You got to know. That's why we don't talk tongues in here. There's nobody in another language here that we need to speak in tongues. Now, if an Ethiopian comes in and everything, I bet God will give us a language to speak because the Holy Spirit will speak in their language. You got to get it. I'm not going to just do, that whole gibberish thing because you're not going to know what I said. I don't know what I said. The Bible says that you'd better speak 5 words in English than 50,000 words in an unknown tongue. Anyway, that's extra. Let's throw that out there. 2 Corinthians 1, 19 through 22 says this, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." Remember last week I said yes? Everything's yes and amen. "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, and the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ," which is the Holy Spirit, "has anointed us." You're anointed. I'm just trying to express that to you. "And you've been sealed and given the earnest of the Spirit in your hearts." Before you were saved, you probably went through life. But the minute you received Christ, what did you do? You went and told somebody. I got saved. What about, and you get so excited about talking about the Lord. When you're with other people and you start talking about God, don't you get excited? And about 4 hours go by, you don't even know 4 hours just went by. Because it's easy when you're in the Spirit. Doesn't mean everything's perfect and everything's going to go right. It means in that moment, you will have the ease you need because the power of the Holy Spirit has anointed you to do that. So what did David, what happened with David? Okay, let's talk about anointing versus appointing. When David was a little kid, 14 years old, the prophet came and said, I'm anointing David king over Israel. Was David the king at that point when he was 14? No. He was anointed though, but he had to wait and wait and wait and wait. And who's waiting in here? Wait and wait for him to become king. When Jesus was born, he was anointed to become the Savior of the world. Was he the Savior yet? No. Years later, when he was 33, he was crucified. His appointment was fulfilled. I want to say something else about Jesus real quick. And that is, the devil thought he really had him. I'm killing him. He didn't know that he was releasing the gift into the world. So when you go through a hard time, don't think that, oh, this is bad and Satan's really getting at me or whatever. Go, oh, thank you, because the gift is just around the corner that's being released into my life, into other people's lives. Like Greg's favorite passage, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So David, he wasn't a king yet, but during his lifetime, he was a shepherd. He fought off a lion. He fought off a bear. And nobody saw him do it. It was behind the scenes. But he was being prepared to become a warrior king. He was the warrior king of the day. He was in battle after battle after battle. Matter of fact, he wanted to build the kingdom or the temple. And God says, no, I don't want you to build the temple. Your son's going to build the temple because he's a man of peace. You're a man of war. He wanted to build his temple on peace. How about Saul? Saul was anointed king. And he was also appointed. Do you think Saul lost his anointing when he began to become jealous and envious of David? He lost his appointment when he was killed, wasn't he? And David took his place. 1 Samuel 15:23 says this, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejects you from being king. God took him down off of being king. Remember the song that was sung by the women? Saul has killed 1,000 and David 10,000s. Saul was jealous at that time. He says, man, you know, they're talking about David more than they're talking about me. David's anointing gave him victory in the war. So what is anointing? Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Remember earlier when I talked about the table that's prepared for you in the presence of your enemies? What is on there? Power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Be able to help people get free from oppression and bondage. Be able to witness to people. Are you just looking at the table? Or are you taking what is yours and applying it in your life? Everyone is anointed who makes God his God. Anointing isn't power. You know how somebody goes, oh, I just feel the anointing fall on me. They're in error because they have the anointing. They already have it. It doesn't need to fall on you. It's just expanding in you. It's just making itself known. There has to be a person for you to be anointed. Jesus is the anointed one. The Holy Spirit is a person. And you cannot be anointed without the Holy Spirit. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
that you cannot be anointed without the Holy Spirit, and he was a person. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Not of any kingdom value. But once you know that you've been appointed and that, well, actually, once you know you've been anointed, because some of you don't know you are. I'm just a Christian. Once you really get it, once you really know, you're going to be on Satan's hit list. Mm-hmm. Satan tried to kill Jesus as a baby. He tried to kill him so many times. He tried to tempt him in so many ways. But Jesus knew his appointment. When I came to this church, I met with Billy and Michelle and Butch and Jeanette and such, and I learned something about the anointing. The anointing does not give you experience. 1 John 2:20, but it does give you truth. It is your teacher. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy Ghost, and all of you know all things. You don't have to go looking around on YouTube and a web and all that looking for your answer. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. When I became a pastor here, and I don't know if you remember this picture, sitting in the back is with Brother Billy handing me the keys to the church in the front. That was right before I took on this pastoring. I knew I was anointed. I knew it in my spirit, but I hadn't yet got the keys. The keys were waiting 20 years. I knew that I was going to, Tom even said, he kept calling me Pastor Linda for I don't know how many years. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not a pastor. You know, and my friend calls me Pastor Linda, and she's called me that for at least 10 years. But it wasn't until I got the keys that my appointment was established. Now I'm walking in the anointing and the appointing. Butch talks about his time with Intel, doesn't he? Why? Because he uses what he learned and experienced to bring into the kingdom. Like I said, anointing doesn't give you experience. Experience gives you experience. When I was working for the state for 30 years, I taught, I traveled up and down the state, wrote manuals, taught different people how to use a computer. I was a program manager, I was a teacher, and for 30 years I was on the phone talking to people and being up in front of them. Do you think that prepared me for today?
Yeah.
I got the experience. But if I just went all of a sudden, jumped in, and I'm like looking at you, and my knees are knocking. I didn't have experience if I didn't have that under my belt. But I have the experience. I've written several books and different things that came from that job, those jobs. The world can teach you some things. And I want to say this. There are some people that can teach you something, and if you are humble enough and patient enough, they're going to prepare you to get what it is God wants for you. But if you fight with your appointment person, the person that's ahead of you, the person that's above you, the person that thinks that they know it all, maybe they know a few things you need to learn. You see, God wants a humble person in the position. And if you keep fighting with that person in that appointment, you're not going to get anywhere. We need to be humble. All right. Tuesday night we were talking about being humble, huh, Becky? You see this sign right here? I was looking at it this morning. What does it say, Sandra?
I can't read it. Blessed.
It says, blessed are the pure in heart. That's a humble person. A humble person knows how to love. The other day, Tom and I were driving our car. I have to tell this. I'm going to tell on me. I fall down 7 times, but I get up every time. So we're driving our car, and there's 2 lanes. and I'm in the left lane with my husband going to the highway, and this car in the right lane decides it wants to get in front of us, so it pulls its front end into the front of us. I go, Tom, no, do not let them in. They're trying to squeeze in, and they're not supposed to do that. That's wrong. Tom goes, God, you're not giving them any mercy. And I said, no, I'm not. I am not. That is wrong. So we take off. The light turns green. The car pulls in. He lets them in. The car pulls and makes a U-turn. Tom goes, see? There was a reason, but this was what God showed me. I wasn't very loving in the moment, and I wasn't very humble, and I wasn't very merciful. Does anybody have a long way to go? Am I the only one? Do y'all have patience? Are y'all humble every minute of the day?
Oh, no.
We try to be. We want to be. That's our goal, but we're people, aren't we? I like this scripture. It says, the Bible talks of the wealth of a sinner being laid up for the just. Woohoo! So if you don't have any wealth right now, trust God's gonna, he's got it ready for you. He's got something in store for you. But again, are you gonna grab it off the table or are you just gonna look at it? It is yours. The Bible says that the children's bread is, God knows what you need. He knows that you need a roof. He knows you need transportation. He knows you need a job. He knows you need clothing. Why are you keeping asking for something that's already yours? Stop asking for the things that are already yours and start asking for things that aren't yours yet. That's what we need to pray about. Pray for things that you can't do. For example, let's say you have a child, a little baby, and you have this baby. Does the baby know to go make a sandwich? No. You have to feed the baby, nurture the baby, teach the baby. 4 or 5 years old, they're getting old enough to go into the refrigerator and eat food. You don't have to keep babying them. They're in there making their sandwiches. God's saying the same thing to us. Quit asking for the little milk still. Let's get beyond that and start asking for things that you can't do. Things that I can do for you. But if I can go in and make a sandwich, I'm going to go, Lord, would you please make a sandwich? Oh, Lord, I really need a sandwich right now. I'm laying on the couch. See, that's an attitude some of us have. Not in this church, of course. Then we have Joshua 24:13 that says, we're going to live in houses that we didn't even build. Wow. Does anybody need a house? It's on that table. Are you going to take it? Oh, man. I'm talking faith here today. And the anointing breaks the yokes. Everything that's heavy on you, everything that makes you feel under something, you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, and that anointing is going to break that yoke. The Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass, in that day, which is when Jesus is resurrected, that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. You know, this is in Isaiah, and they're talking prior to the cross, and we're talking after the cross. It's been done. The yoke has been taken away. It's been destroyed because of the anointing of Jesus living in you. Are you going to take it off the table? Or are you just going to look at it? Hey, I'm giving you something here. Just because you're anointed, it doesn't mean you're appointed. Quit comparing yourself to somebody else today. You know what? We need to look at those people and go, maybe I can learn something from them. That's humbling yourself. You don't want to tell somebody you don't know something, right? It's hard, isn't it? Let's look at Acts chapter 1, 23 through 26. This is the story of when Judas went out to kill himself. The disciples, and after he killed himself, the disciples took it upon themselves to get another disciple. God never told him to do it. I've never heard of Matthias since that passage. He was selected.
Barabbas was the other, and then Matthias was the one. They cast lot. They threw out coins. If it lands on the heads, we'll take him, or lands on tails, we'll take the other guy. They said, I pray to God. Then they didn't wait. They just took, they did lots. They just chose him. He was appointed without being anointed. Now let me give you this insight. Maybe Matthias would have been in a different position, but if he would have taken the appointment with the anointing. Sometimes we take a position because it's there, and we don't even want it, but it's there. We need to know that God's got something better for us, but we don't want to wait. Being in this position for Matthias probably messed up his real true calling. You know, sometimes we get out and do things we're not supposed to be doing, and that's when the Bible does say, wait on God. Wait on God. How many of us just take a position without God's approval? I can tell you if you're in the wrong position, do you struggle? So people ask me, have asked me so many times, Linda, how can you do all the things you do? I don't know if you read our little book, Welcome to Plymouth Community Church. It's filled with all the things we've done as a church. And people have come to me, Linda, what do? Stay up all night? Do you ever sleep? Look at all the stuff that you do. And you know my answer is? It's easy because of the anointing. That's the only thing I can say. It's easy because of the anointing. The devil, no man, no one can take the anointing away from you. But you can sure mess it up by getting too soon in your appointment that you think God gave you, when really he didn't. Now, I don't know if anybody got that. You know, Jesus wasn't fulfilling his appointment until he was baptized. Did you know that? Jesus waited until John the Baptist introduced him as the Son of God. He was baptized, and he came out of the water, and he heard his Father say from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus didn't do anything before that. Even he told his mom, "Mom, it's not time yet," when she wanted him to turn the water into wine. Wasn't time yet. He knew his time. He stayed quiet. John the Baptist was preaching and teaching, and here's the Son of God on the earth at the time when John the Baptist is preaching and teaching. But he said not a word until his appointment, and then boy, he started teaching and preaching, didn't he? The Holy Ghost anointed Jesus. Some people think that Jesus was anointed from the minute he was, you know, born. Maybe he was, but I don't think his appointment really took effect until he was given his task in life. I believe that he was anointed like a child, but it wasn't until he received his appointment that it really took off. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now I want you to say something with me. That's me. I want you to say that. That's me. I'm anointed. I'm supposed to preach. I'm supposed to preach to the poor. I'm to heal the brokenhearted. I'm to preach deliverance to the captives. I'm to help people have sight restored. And I'm to set people at liberty that are hurting. Now, that's all on your table. That's before you. Have you grabbed those things that you can do? He doesn't say, and I prayed to God and he healed them. No, he says, these are things you're going to do because the Spirit lives in you. Do you believe that these are for you? This is what God says. You know, quit praying for something you already have, but you got to grab it. How about the church? I believe everybody has been anointed, but that doesn't mean you've been appointed yet. I love Gloria when she comes up. She's anointed and appointed. Really, she has a knack to do that.
Greg, he does the offering with Phil. They're anointed and appointed. I think everybody in here has an appointment. I don't know if it's going to be in the church, but it's somewhere. Your day is coming. Your day is coming. Don't envy someone else's appointment. You know this is witchcraft? I'm going to tell you something a little bit about Satan. I think it's something you all need to hear about. You know how I said earlier, wow, I really could do better than they. You know that's what Satan said to God? I can do better than you. And that made him fall. Did you know Satan was a cherubim? You know over the mercy seat, the altar, the ark, they have two cherubs with their wings over, touching each other? Satan was supposed to be one of them as well. It's in the Bible. Ezekiel 28, 14 through 15. You are the anointed cherub, talking to Satan, that covers. He doesn't cover, does he? He exposes and he abuses and he rejects and he causes all kinds of problems in our life. He's supposed to cover you. He never took that position because he wanted to be better. He said, no, I'm better than God. I'm going to do it my way. That's an attitude that's going to get us into trouble. It says, thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set thee so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. Satan knew all about God and his love and the power and everything. He was up there hanging with the angels. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in all your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Satan never fulfilled his purpose. He used the anointing that God gave him and abused it. He was supposed to cover, but he exposes and he accuses. Satan was anointed, but what did he do with it? You know what a cherubim is? They are the closest to God. Satan was very close to God. Some people believe that when the veil was torn, that the cherubs is the ones that tore the veil. Because it's the cherubs that take that sweet-smelling savor offering to the Lord. So releasing God's power in closing. When the devil killed Jesus, he didn't realize he was releasing the most important gift into the world. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. It's only for a moment to bring you into something greater. You might be going through some horrendous times right now. Oh, it's just like you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not the devil. God, our God, is chastening you and helping you and preparing you for your appointment. The anointing is already in you. You don't have a specific appointment right now, then live in the anointing. As an anointed person, what can you do? These are the things, and I'll close with them. To be an effective witness, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to proclaim liberty to the prisoners, to bring recovery of sight for the blind, Linda. We have Linda here. She needs her sight. Are we going to just go, oh, sorry, Linda. I'll pray for you. Or are we going to believe, and is Linda going to believe that the food is out there on the table for her to take? To release the oppressed, to proclaim the Lord's favor and grace, to be benefactors doing good to needy people, to break the devil's yoke in the lives of bound up people, to teach us and help us to know God's truth versus error. This is all on the table. But don't rush your appointment. Because once you have your appointment, now you're responsible for it. What's that quote? Heavy is the head that wears the crown. It's the truth. The more responsibility, the more power you have, the more responsibility you have. So I just want to close with this.
Have you been anointed? Raise your hand. Do you believe you've been anointed? Everybody should raise your hand. You've all been anointed. But are you in your appointment? Are you exactly where you need to be right now? Do you know that maybe God has something? You're not quite there yet. That's okay. Still live in the anointing because you're being prepared for your appointment. Maybe one of you is going to take on this position. Maybe I'm warming your seat. It's possible. Father, thank you so much right now for this simple truth of knowing that we are all anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost because He lives within us. And now, Father, I ask that each person grab a hold of what is already given through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to open up our Bibles and look to see what the Holy Spirit wants us to have. What Jesus came to give us, Father. Help us to understand what God is trying to tell us as we seek Him every single day and desire Him every single day. Help us to not rush our appointment. Help us to experience things right now, knowing we're on a journey to getting to that place, that's that perfect place, that sweet spot, you might say, that sweet spot where you want us. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.